Revelation chapter 21. Now, somebody that's near a radiator, is the heat coming up in it? Can you tell me? Well, that again. I hope it comes back in soon. Good. Let's pray for our brethren who are down in the dungeon trying to get us a little more comfortable. Just one verse, Revelation 21 and verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Now I just want to say a few words on that expression, Behold, I make all things new. And it's been coming to my mind again and again of late, I suppose with the advent of a new year, we do begin to think about new things, and to begin to think of how much the Bible speaks about new things. And somehow or other, this verse has been repeating itself in my heart and my mind, and bringing real joy and blessing. We look ahead, and we hear God saying, Behold, I make all things new. No man talks about remodeling. And he talks about rejuvenating and rehabilitating and so on. But it's always taking something that has already been made and changing it some. Now, the tragedy is, that's a very wise thing very often in natural things, material matters. But the trouble is that man carries this over into the spiritual realm. And when he begins to think about a person becoming a Christian, or a person being saved, if he knows that term, he thinks in the same way about a remodeling job, or rehabilitation, or something of that nature. A little improvement on what is recognized and acknowledged not to be what it should be. Now that's where the tragedy comes in. Because that is so far from God's way that it must be corrected. Now in the coming day, God is going to say, Behold, I make all things new. If you read the passage prior to it, and following after, that certainly extends to the natural realm as well as the spiritual. And I think there's significance in that. Man's been living on this planet for quite a few years, and I don't think he's improved it very much. He thinks he has, but we're being told now that our soil is so contaminated that the food grown in it is doing us more harm than good. We're being told that our water is contaminated, so that does us harm. The latest scare has been that our atmosphere is so contaminated, that no doubt we are breathing in that which may, in a measure at least, account for the strange increase in diseases that seem to baffle the medical profession. Now, how much of these things are absolutely true, I don't know. How far-reaching their effects are, I don't know. If you want to find out, buy a popular book. And after you get your mind thoroughly set on, buy another book, and you find it's exactly opposite. Then if you're still not sure, buy a third book. And then you'll find that there are three authors who are absolutely sure they're right, and the three of them are completely different. But be that as it may, I'm happy to know that in the coming day, God is going to make all things new. It must have been a wonderful sight to have seen the creative work of God in the beginning as it came from his hand in all its pristine beauty. But thank God the day is coming when he's going once again to make all things new. Now, when the Spirit of God inspired the writers of our New Testament to speak about new things, he led them to use in the Greek language two words that are translated in our Bible, new. And we have no way of knowing, just with the reading of our English Bible, just which word it was the Spirit of God led them to use. Of course, that can be determined by a reference to the original language, but the one word meant new in time. Just like we speak about the new year. The old year gone? Well, here's a new year in time. Now, that was one word that the Greeks had for new. And they spoke about something that was new. You talk about a new baby. Well, that was a new baby that was just beginning, of course, to live its life here on earth. It was new in time. But they had another word. And it didn't signify new in time. It meant new in character. It had to do not with time, but with quality. And that's what the Spirit of God says here. God is going to say, I'm going to make all things new, of a new quality altogether. Now, why is that? If you and I were to go back to the opening chapter of our Bible this morning, we'd find five times over, in that first chapter of Genesis, God made, God made, God made, God made, God made. Then we start over again and read through that chapter and we read God created. Five times again, God created, God created, God created, God created, God created. And so 10 times in the first chapter of Genesis, our attention is drawn to the fact that God was the maker of all things. If you think of the material realm, God's the maker of it. You think of man, God's the creator of man. Well then, why does God have to say, after he had made, after he had created, why does God have to say he's going to make all things new? All things of a new quality. Well, of course, we know the answer. Sin entered. There was absolutely nothing wrong with that which God made. You remember at the end of that creatorial work, God looked at his handiwork and he saw that it was very good. Everything that God had made was, as you'd expect, very good. Now, God is going to make all things new. And, of course, we know that's because of the entrance of sin. And sin marred the material creation. Sin marred man. Sin marred everything that it touched. But thank God, the day is coming when God is going to make all things new. And the last trace of sin, the last trace of that devastating work of sin on creation, the material world, is going to be completely erased. Not going to be covered over and obscured, but completely erased. And everything of a new quality is going to be brought into the glory of God. That's why I think that reading the closing chapters of our Bible is so encouraging. You look around, and you try to figure things out. And you almost become distracted. And you see so much that is not of God. So much that's dishonoring to God. And is displeasing and disturbing to everyone that is of God. And you say to yourself, if not to others, well, what's the outcome all going to be? This is it. God's going to make all things new. And in His time, and his way, by his mighty power, the last trace, the last evidence of sin is going to be abolished. That's a grand future. That's something to look forward to with joy. But I must qualify that statement. The last evidence and trace of sin, the last mark of its devastating, destructive power, is going to be erased, except where you have it here in these closing books of Revelation in a lost eternity. And here we have a lost eternity, so terrible, so dreadful, that the mind is staggered as it tries to conceive of it. That lake of fire, that will not only be seen during the millennial age, but carries right over into the new creation, not part of it, but it exists during the new heavens and the new earth as the eternal abode of those who die without Christ. Fearful thing. But apart from that, thank God, God's mighty power will erase all of the effects of sin. But now God is getting a people ready for that time. You know, I've seen in driving around the town here, I've gotten to know it fairly well these 20-odd years. I've seen some new homes go up. And they were very attractive. They were small. They were in the lower income bracket homes. But they were very nice. And you look at a new house, there's something about it. Everything fresh and new and that. And they were very nice. And in due time, people moved in. And in a little while, you wouldn't know the house. You would no more want to live in it, nor live beside it than anything. Now, what was the matter? The people who lived there. They were apparently just of that type who couldn't even look after a new place. Had no interest in it, possibly. Just of destructive natures. But anyway, the home just became in a little while almost a wreck. Now, God isn't going to allow that. When God brings all things new in, he's going to people that new scene with new people. A new creation. That's why the Lord Jesus said, except a man be born anew, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You see, God's not going to have, just to use by way of illustration, a lovely new house. And then put some people in it with natures that would just destroy it. No. When God brings in this new scene altogether, he's going to have new creatures there. Where's he going to get them? He's getting them right now. And on the basis of the redemptive work of Christ, God has been getting a new creation. And that's going to continue. He's going to take some of those home we know, those who compose the church. They're going to be taken home, and they're going to inhabit the heavenly scene. He's going to get others, and they're going to inhabit the earthly scene. But they're going to be new creatures. We read in the sixth chapter of Galatians, I believe, about verse 15, for neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything but a new creation. Now, circumcision, that was the Jews. Uncircumcision, that was the Gentiles. That doesn't avail a thing. It doesn't matter who you are by your first birth. You might have been born of Jewish parents, you'd be a Jew. You might have been born of Gentile parents, you'd be a Gentile. You might have been born of wealthy parents. You might inherit that wealth. You might have been born of poor parents and remain poor, and so on. But that avails nothing but a new creation. The circumcision, the Jew, must become a new creature. The uncircumcision, the Gentile, must become a new creature. The rich, the poor. The educated, the illiterate. All men everywhere must become new creatures in Christ Jesus if they're going to enter and to enjoy that new scene that God is going to prepare. And so the question, and of course we could go into this much more in detail, I think in fact that passage I've just quoted from Galatians emphasized another thing. Circumcision was an ordinance. It was a God-given ordinance that he gave to his people Israel as a sign of a covenant that existed between God and his earthly people. But the scripture says, even that God-given ordinance doesn't avail anything. No, it did in Israel. If the male was not circumcised, he was outside the congregation altogether. If he had that sign in his flesh, he was recognized as an Israelite of the congregation of Israel. But now, under grace, that doesn't avail him. Nor do any of the other ordinances. Circumcision in its time was just as much a God-given ordinance of baptism as now. Or the Lord's Supper is now. But none of these ordinances avail anything when it comes to salvation. It's a new creature. A new creation. And how we need to hear again the words that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. And the great question for each one of us to ask ourselves is just this. As we think of that new creation, as we think of that brand new scene, that God is going to bring on, replacing the old sin together. You know, generally, as we come to the end of an old year, it's quite unusual if the passing of the old and the coming of the new is not depicted by some poor, worn, weary, tattered-looking individual, and he's just making his way off the scene. That, of course, is the old year. And here's a brand new little baby. Poor thing doesn't know what's ahead of him. But here, just full of hope and everything bouncing on the scene, is a new little fellow, the new year. I say we're accustomed to that. But thank God the day is coming when this scene that has been marred and scarred by sin is going to be replaced by a new scene brought in by God's creative power and wisdom. And the thing is this. Are you going to enjoy a part in that? Or are you still going to remain part of the old scene that's been ruined by sin? You don't need to. You can become a new creature in Christ Jesus by accepting him who died on Calvary's cross for you. And accepting him as your Savior. While that may be an outward act, it may be accompanied by coming forward at a meeting. It may be accompanied by going on your knees in prayer. It may be accompanied by a lot of outward things, or it may not. But the great thing is this, when you really accept Christ into your heart, something takes place in here. You are born from above. You become a new creature in Christ Jesus. And thus, as a new creature, you begin to enjoy God and the things of God, and you can look forward to enjoying that scene for all eternity. I think that we need to keep these things in mind, all of us, as around us, men, with all of their intelligence, wisdom, and sincerity, are frustrated by the problems they face. And I think that the best we can say is that the world isn't a mess. It's getting messier all the time. But thank God, God says, I make all things. That's our prospect, brothers and sisters. That's our hope. Meanwhile, we can rejoice in the fact we've been made new creatures. and we can assume and discharge our responsibility to bring as many as possible to Christ, that they too might become not merely religious, not merely outwardly good and moral, but inwardly they may become new creatures in Christ Jesus. God grant it may be true of every one of you. And this morning, I trust you'll not go any further into the new year without Christ. I hope that you'll decide not to leave this morning until you know Christ as your personal Savior. I'd love to speak with you. If there are problems, difficulties, things that you don't understand about God's way of salvation, it'd just be a pleasure and a joy to take this Bible and to point you to the answers, the God-given answers, that can remove those difficulties. And you can go home this morning singing your heart, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for Thy mighty work, a work that many of us here this morning have experienced in our own hearts and lives, that wonderful work of regeneration. We thank Thee for the blessings it brings to us, the understanding and enjoyment of Thyself, and of the things of Thyself. And our Father, we just pray that Thou will graciously speak to any who may be here without this wonderful transformation in their lives. Bless us as we separate, we pray Thee, Father. Bless the further activities of the day. May everything be such that the evening activities with our young people and tonight in the gospel may be able to carry on unhindered and in comfort. Take us all home now in safety, we pray, in that peerless name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.